Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Lizanne. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I welcome you all to 4Q FY22 earnings call of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited. From the management, we have Ms. Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of the company. We have Mr. Pawan Agarwal, CFO of the company, and we have the other dignitaries of the management team. I would now hand over the call to Ms. Gauri Kirloskar for the opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for the Q&A session. Over to you, ma'am.
This call is now being recorded. Call recording has now ended.
Hello, Amit, can I go ahead?
Yeah. Yeah, ma'am, please. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Amit. Good evening to all of you. This is Gauri Kirloskar. I would like to thank you all for joining the call today. As you must have seen yesterday's announcement, I am talking to you today as Managing Director of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited. Present with me on this call are Mr. Pawan Agarwal, the Chief Financial Officer of the company, and our Company Secretary, Ms. Smita Raichurkar. We also have our business unit heads, including the team from Arka Fincap and our Head of Strategy here with us. Hope you are all doing well and keeping safe in these heat waves with all cities reaching record temperatures. Today, we are here to talk about the Q4 and fiscal year 2022 performance. I would like to begin with giving you an update of the overall business environment and the demand outlook as we see it for fiscal year 2023. After that, Pawan would speak about the financial performance and a detailed update. Post that, we will be open for the Q&A session. Before we begin, a customary disclaimer. We wish to start by qualifying that during the call we may make some forward-looking statements. These statements are considering the business environment we see as of today, and therefore there could be risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to vary materially from what we are discussing on the call, and we would not always be able to update on these forward-looking statements. Fiscal year 2022 had its own ups and downs as we started with the COVID second wave and now the ongoing geopolitical tensions on the Russia-Ukraine war background. Despite these pressures, fiscal year 2023 looks good on the demand side with the government's infrastructure spending at an all-time high and the pickup in industrial CapEx. Coming to Q4 performance, it has been a steady quarter for KOEL. We have delivered on both top line and profitability targets. With this quarterly performance, we witnessed a healthy top line growth of 22% for our consolidated business for the full year. However, profitability was under stress, mainly due to the rapid increase in commodity inflation, especially in the third quarter of this year. On the operations side, the BS4 transition has been smooth. During last year, over 3,600 of our BS4 compliant engines have clocked more than 100,000 hours in the field. We also take pride in mentioning that last year we provided a record set of gensets to hospitals and healthcare centers during the nation's fight against COVID. We launched two platform engines into the market, low horsepower compact engine platform called R550 and high horsepower platform at the 1,250 kVA and 1,500 kVA ranges. We also announced our entry into the electric motor space with the launch of three-phase AC induction motors. The efforts on developing alternate fuel engines have reached its fruition, and you would witness the unveiling of some of these products in the near future. If I look at the overall macro environment now from an overall Indian market point of view, we believe at KOEL, with a strong manufacturing base in India and a largely indigenized supply chain, we are at the right place and the right time. Despite the geopolitical uncertainties and higher commodity prices, the structural story of India remains intact. Government's focus on infrastructure development and the additional thrust for Make in India presents us with a great opportunity in this space. We are in one of the few markets globally which has a strong growth outlook. Coming to the sector we cater to, in the post-COVID scenario with accelerating economic activity, the power demand is on an ever-growing trend. We see a good opportunity in this environment for the power generation business. This expected growth in the volumes needs to be handled tactfully on the background of higher commodity prices. As we had indicated in the previous calls, we are taking a series of planned price hikes to keep our margins intact. We have been taking these price hikes in a phased manner. So as of now, the top line growth you see in this quarter is coming from a mix of volume growth and price hike both. Pawan in his remarks will dwell upon the numbers in detail. As I mentioned earlier, the government's investment in infrastructure is at an all-time high. The push for manufacturing via PLI scheme has given a good boost to private sector capex as well. This presents a very healthy demand scenario for our products. We are seeing good traction in order inquiries as well as an order book for the government schemes like Jal Jeevan Mission, Affordable Housing, Kusum Scheme, which is the solar pumps, etc. The additional positive on the macro side for us is the China Plus One strategy. As I mentioned earlier, we are at a very sweet spot in these changing geopolitical environments. With manufacturing, engineering, and innovation being our core competencies, we also know the Indian market like the back of our hand. Our brand is a household name in India. We have the experience of creating fit-for-market products, distribution, and service channels, and that makes us the right partner for global players who may want to enter the Indian market for manufacturing or selling. This will help us to gear up for any international opportunities that may open up in our sector. So to sum it up, the overall outlook looks buoyant given the pickup in government spending, infrastructure investment, higher construction activity, and an overall positive trend in the industrial capex. However, we believe higher inflationary environment will put pressure on the costs, which we will have to watch carefully. But with scaling up newly introduced businesses, we should be able to take that impact. We expect good growth in business segments like electric pumps, fire pumps, and the traditional genset and engine business in this positive demand environment. Now, for the further deep dive into financial performance and analysis, I will hand it over to Pawan.
Thanks, Gauri. Good evening, everyone. With the positive demand outlook shared by Gauri, let me now give you all a view of the fourth quarter and the year gone by. While the press release and the earnings call presentation, which have been released, has the performance details, nonetheless, I would like to go through the key parameters on financial and business performance, and then we can get into a Q&A session. On a standalone basis, the total revenue from operations for the fourth quarter stood close to 990 crore against 914.6 crore in quarter four of the previous financial year, an increase of 8%. As you can see, the major cost increase was around the raw material side. Raw material cost to sales percentage has increased by 3.7% from quarter four last year to quarter four this year. This has impacted the EBITDA margins. Consequently, the EBITDA was at 102.6 crore in quarter four. EBITDA margins at 10.4%, which was lower by 2.7% against quarter four last year. However, EBITDA margins were higher by 4.3% against the trailing quarter. There is an exceptional item pertaining to profit arising on sale of investment in Arka Fincap Limited of around 52.7 crore during the quarter. So the profit before tax is at 142 crore rupees and net profit is at 120 crore for the quarter. Now looking at the full year standalone performance, revenue from operations grew by 22% to rupees 3,300 crore. However, EBITDA is at a level of about 269 crore due to lower gross profit and higher other expenses compared to last year. As you can see, the major impact is of commodity price increase, wherein the raw material cost to sales percentage has increased by 4.7% year-on-year basis. The current year's other expenses in the P&L also include a one-time expenditure incurred by the company towards the Kirloskar brand refresh program, which we undertook to strengthen our market positioning. Consequently, profit before exceptional items and tax for the year was approximately 12% lower at 210 crore. Net profit for the year stood at 208 crore, witnessing 23% growth over last year. This has the effect of exceptional item that I had mentioned earlier. Most of the business divisions have demonstrated healthy double-digit sales growth in the current year. Total standalone sales grew by 23% for FY22 over last year. This was contributed by mainly power generation, industrial business and institutional project solution businesses. Moving on to the segmental performance, as you must have noticed from last quarter, we have been giving updates of our segmental performance. This keeps the consistency in line with our financial segmental reporting. There was a feedback from one of the analysts regarding the segmental reporting. Going forward, we would like to make the financial presentation more and more investor-friendly for a clear understanding of the business segment. Coming to the engine segment, in power generation business, all major sub-segments have registered healthy double-digit sales growth year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter. Export sales have registered a growth of 119% year-on-year. We have strengthened presence in mobility segment with installations in metros and major airports. On the industrial business side, sales registered a decline of 15% year-on-year and growth of 2% quarter-on-quarter. We have completed firefighting pump set range expansion and supplied more than 300 kiloskar firefighting pump sets in the market. On the customer support business, sales were nearly at the same level year-on-year, while quarter-on-quarter it registered a 12% growth. We continue to maintain healthy customer delight index score of more than 90. Institutional project and solution business saw impressive growth of 106% year-on-year and 292% quarter-on-quarter. Now looking at the electric pump segment, at Lagarjan Machinery Private Limited, business has registered sales nearly at the same level quarter-on-quarter and decline of 11% year-on-year. EBITDA margin for the quarter continued to remain under pressure due to steep increase in commodity prices. As you know, LGM had formed a wholly owned subsidiary by the name Optica Pipes and Electricals Private Limited in February 2021 to tap the market opportunities in the allied segment and adjacencies in the water management solution vertical. Further, as we had mentioned in the last call, Optica entered into a joint venture with Iswa Pumps India Private Limited by obtaining 49% equity stake in the company on 4th October 2021. The next segment is Financial Services Division. Our total investment in ARCA Financial Holding Private Limited as on 31st March 2022 stood at 837 crore. ARCA Financial Holding in turn invested 834 crore rupees in equity share capital of ARCA FinCap Limited, including the shares which were transferred from FOEL. Other performance details have been updated in the earnings presentation. As far as consolidated performance of Coel Group is concerned, here are the key points. Net sales at rupees 3,978.7 crore for FY22 versus rupees 3,254.8 crore for FY21, which is 22% increase year on year. Net profit of rupees 170.9 crore for FY22 versus rupees 197.4 crore for FY21. That is 13% decline year-on-year. The Board of Directors has recommended a final dividend of Rs. 2.5 per share, which is 125% of the face value of Rs. 2 each. With this, the full year dividend declared would be at Rs. 4 per share, which represents 200% of the face value. As far as the outlook is concerned, as Gauri mentioned in her remarks, we see a positive demand outlook in the economy across our business segments. So the revenue growth outlook looks promising. However, on the profitability side, we need to keep a close watch on the inflationary pressure on overall costs. We have been taking the price rises, sales price rises, and you would see that effect in coming quarters too. On the newly introduced businesses, we see great opportunity to scale up, and our teams are geared up for the upscaling of these new businesses. As we are done with the numbers update, I would like to update you all on Coel's sustainability journey. Last quarter, we had given an update on Coel's sustainability structure. You would hear more from us on this space in coming quarters. Our focus on sustainable business practices and emphasis on socially inclusive business remains intact. We will enhance the reporting standards and adapt to new practices in line with regulatory requirements. To conclude, I would like to mention that overall we remain enthusiastic and optimistic about the market opportunity. With this summary, we may now commence the question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is in the line of Sandeep Tulsiyan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Very good evening. The first question is pertaining to the price hikes that have been rolled out in the last 1 year, which you mentioned has been taken in a staggered manner. If you can highlight cumulative, what would have been the price hikes across each segment, that is power gen, agri, industrial, if you can broadly highlight the overall quantum.
Sandeep, it would be difficult to give you an overall ballpark number, but through the year, including quarter four, in various businesses, the price rise, decisions have been taken at different point of time and at different rate across different, categories, SKUs, etc. Electric pump, for example, in WMS, we took price increase in April, July, November, then January, and then again in April 22, we have taken at various rates. Similarly, in other businesses also, we have taken, but there was a little bit of, wait and watch in quarter three or quarter two, quarter three, where we did not take so much of price increase. However, in quarter four, I think across all businesses, we have taken price increase in different order. And that has helped us, improve the raw material cost to sales ratio in quarter four.
Mm-hmm. No, the reason I'm asking is, so power gen, of course, we have done a very strong growth. But other than power gen, most of the segments, if you look at it on a year-on-year basis, there's largely single-digit growth in agri as well as industrial. So want to understand how much should we look at it from a pricing growth perspective, and how much would have been the volume growth where there is more headroom to cover, because of course first quarter was impacted during the year.
Just a moment. Arvind, would you like to give some color on power generation business? Then probably I can ask Milind to talk about water management. Arvind, you are there on the call?
Mr. Arvind Chabra?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Pawan. Sure. Good afternoon, Sandeep. In the power gen, as Pawan mentioned, that in the early FY22, quarter one, quarter two, it was like lag because the commodity suddenly shook it up. But quarter four, as like in the previous quarter, we have been taking the lead. So we took the lead in terms of the price increase. And if I have to give some reference, it is high double digit, which was the overall consolidated price increase over the year, which was almost in line with the commodity inflation as far as the power gen is concerned. And similar was the case for the industrial.
Yeah, so as far as Coil Electric is concerned, there was a volume growth of around 14% as compared to last year. And total price hike, what we took was little behind the market-related price increases, but overall we were roughly around 5% behind the market prices. But volume growth, we were at 14%.
Understood. Second question, is regarding the breakup, which you usually share for the power gen. If you can highlight how much of the sales was DV series and how much was the other low KVA gensets what we sell, and what would have been the traded product, broadly spent, right? And similarly, in the industrial segment, what would have been the ballpark breakup between tractors and off-highway?
Thanks, Sandeep. On the DV side, we had in quarter four, just a minute, I will give you the numbers.
And for full year also, if you can please.
Yeah. Just a moment. We sold 1,000 numbers, which includes the DV series and the SL series all put together, 1,000 units. And for the full year, the equivalent number was 3,269.
And in terms of rupees crore value, what would have been?
Roughly about 400 plus crore, 409 to be precise, for the full year.
Okay.
And for the quarter, it is about 131 crore.
Got it. And the makeup between the traded products and for the industrial segment, you can share it, please?
Yeah, just give me a minute. So in the industrial, as you know, we have tractor segment. So in tractor, we did in quarter four, 31 crore of sale in industrial, within industrial. And other than tractor, which is construction equipment, firefighting pump, etc., all put together is 146 in quarter four.
Okay.
Full year number, tractor is 156 crore. And other than tractor, which includes firefighting pumps, is 481 crore.
Understood. Sir, next question is pertaining to all these new products. If you can now give us some sense in Optica, now what all products would form the entire addressable market, because we have a tie-up for pumps and we have some electricals and other things. So what should be the addressable market and which all product lines we will be present in? Are these electric motors what we have launched part of the Optica portfolio, or they would be sold through the COEL franchise? And on the other products, like transformers is one product we had spoken about in some of the earlier calls, which will be selling to the railways. If you can give an update on that front also, please.
Sandeep, thanks. There are three, four questions in one question. So let me attempt to answer these one by one. So the easier one, motor business is sitting in COEL, Kirloskar Motors, which is under the Kirloskar brand, we are selling motors. OWC, organic waste composter, and the Optica range of products, that I will request Rahul to talk more about it. And also he will touch upon transformer side.
Hi Sandeep, this is Rahul here. So I'll start from your first question, which was on the wires. You asked about the Optica portfolio and you also asked about the market size. So the Optica portfolio is divided broadly into two segments. One is the wires and the flat cables, the electrical part, and the other one, which is about 1,000 odd crores size. And the other one is the pipes. Now, pipes is a huge market, but here in Optica, we are more focused on the column pipes. As Pawan mentioned earlier, Optica, the logic of getting Optica under our fold was to get into allied business. So basically, whatever is coming along with a submersible pump, that is what we are concerned with. Although, so that means that the larger PVC pipes, the huge market, the 30,000 odd crores, that's not really the focus on Optica. So that was on Optica. The second question was on electric motors. And in electric motors, we have, so this business is sitting pretty much in COEL. And it is, we've just launched it. The range that we have launched is up to 37 kilowatt. And gradually through the next 2-3 quarters, we are going to expand this range up to higher frame sizes. And we are also going to expand this range for higher efficiency motors. We are also appointing a lot of dealers across all four zones. So this business is in scale up mode. We are seeing, this was launched in the end of March, but going by last month's experience, we see a good feedback from market. So we really anticipate a good year this year for electric motors. And your last question.
Market size for this will be? Sorry.
See, the LV, so we are currently into low voltage motors, AC, which would be roughly around 4,000 to 5,000 crores.
Got it.
Yeah. And the last question was on transformer. Currently, we are reassessing the whole transformer market, in, especially in railways, given whatever has happened in the COVID years. And so that means currently it's on hold. So we will come back to you maybe sometime later on what exactly we want to do on transformer.
On the organic waste composter, as you know, it's a concept selling, and you know, we have been you know, showcasing this product to our channel partners, and we are getting encouraging response. However, in terms of numbers, it is going to take some time to get some meaningful sale number from this product. But overall outlook looks positive. Maybe Arvind may like to throw more light on OWC product specifically.
Yeah, Pawan, thanks. You already said the most. Yes, this product is now well accepted by the channel, though as of now it is more compliance-driven, and we are building into the concept that how it is beneficial and why customers should take it, and the response is very, very positive. So maybe in the coming quarter you will see more and more number flowing in from this product also. But from the overall stability and acceptability of product, it is building up very fast.
Understood. Thank you. And just if I can squeeze in one last thing on the management, we had seen a lot of exits during the past quarter. Have all those positions been filled in the current quarter, or there are you know, hirings which are yet to be done? And just wanted to understand, the role is now split, the managing director and CEO role, what we read in the announcement yesterday. So both these positions will have the executive role full time, is what I wanted to get a clarity on.
So thanks, Sandeep, for this question. This is Pawan. We have, you would have seen in yesterday's announcement, Mr. Aseem has been brought in. So he is going to look after the B2C part, which essentially right now is water management solution business, plus the farm mechanization business. So he's going to lead that business. And as we had mentioned in the earlier call, the customer support business, Abhay Nayak, who had left to pursue his own venture. So that position was filled at that point itself by promoting his direct report, and this process was going on for a long time. So that position has been filled, and otherwise there are no other open position in the company which needed any immediate action.
Okay, and so B2C will be taken care by Mr. Rathi, and what about the other B2B part?
So B2B, we are in the process. We will see, you know, going forward, you know, right now we have Arvind is there and the other businesses are there, so they are taking care of the business. But we will evaluate the situation and we'll take a call on the head of B2B business, and board, we will be guided by the decision of the board on this matter.
Understood. Okay. Thank you so much for taking on this question.
Thanks, Sandeep. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ashwini Sharma from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. And thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the employee cost. If I look at the standalone numbers, there is a decrease of around 14% on a YoY basis. But when I look at the console number, there is an increase of around 2%. How do we explain this, sir?
On the standalone number, we are in employee-related cost. Last year was 199 crore, and this year is roughly 207 crore rupees. So, a couple of things. This year, obviously, there was a annual pay raise which was given to employees. Also, the ESOP cost has come into big play this year, which is roughly about 2.5 crore for the full year. So these two things have played out for this increase. As far as console is concerned, the last year number was 257 crore at a group level, and this year number is about 285-86 crore rupees, which again includes the normal increase and ESOP at ESOP cost at ARCA as well as at OL level. So there are no other
extraordinary item sitting over there.
And what will be the numbers going ahead? Let's say if we talk about quarterly run rate in the standalone business.
Come again, please.
Going ahead, how do you guide this number? So let's say in Q4, the standalone employee cost was 49 crore. Can this number be, this will be the number going ahead?
There was some reversal in the quarter four this year. Overall, it would be around 55 to 56 crore rupees per quarter on a steady basis.
Okay. So my second question is on the power gen business. If you could talk about, different sectors, how is the demand over there, which are the sectors which are, where you see strong demand coming?
Sure. I will let Arvind answer this question. Arvind, over to you.
Yeah. Hi, Ashwini. Good afternoon. See, as Gauri also mentioned in our opening remark, that from the quarter four onward, the demand has been pretty positive from all the sectors, since the infra projects are back on track, be it the residential or the commercial side, and the health sector as well as the other manufacturing setup, most of the new projects have already started getting unlocked. So overall, the demand has been coming in from all the key sectors when it comes to the power generation, and which was further fueled by the off late in the last 2-3 months. We have started hearing a lot about the power crisis situation because the economy was coming back on track. So it is from all the key sectors.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks.
Thank you. So next question is from the line of Amit Kalyanpur from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. Further, just taking it further on this power gen, what are the volumes that we are seeing in Q1? I mean, what is the magnitude of the incremental demand on account of this power situation?
Arvind, can you take this one?
Hi, Amit. Afternoon.
Yeah.
See, on account of this particular power crisis situation, the demand in the lower end segment is slightly high. I can say that it will be the early double digit, wherein from the higher end perspective, these power crises will not make much of the difference in terms of the demand. Only growth is coming more on account of the project getting unlocked. Because those are anyway the planned purchase from a larger gestation period perspective. But yes, smaller end has a sudden spike wherein the customer was looking at the early supply.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants of the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mazal Shah from EDA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Just wanted forward-looking, next 3-4 years, where do you see this ARCA, from here on? Actually, Kirloskar has invested close to around 800 odd crores. I think historically it was mentioned that we'll be investing somewhere close to 1,000 odd crores. Okay. And beyond that, where will the capital come from? And what size, what book size are you looking maybe 3-4 years down the line? And with this, interest rate scenario moving up, and, there is some slowdown, Are we seeing any change in the business plans or, is there a concern about, bad debts or something of that sort? Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mazhar, for this question. Actually, there are quite a few questions bundled in one question. I'll I will answer a few of them and then I will hand over to Amit Gupta, who is the finance head for Arka Fincap. So as far as the commitment, capital commitment to Arka Group is concerned, the board of OL has taken a call and decided to invest up to 100,000 crore, and that remains intact. And of course, as you would have noticed, that there has been additional subsidiaries have been formed within our financial services businesses, Arka Financial Holdings Private Limited and Arka Management Services. And there has been a shareholding restructuring has been done, whereby now OL is holding stake in Arka Group through Arka Financial Holding Private Limited. Secondly, the financial performance of the subsidiary continues to be robust. Quarter on quarter, we are on the growth trajectory, both on the top line and bottom line. And the loan book looks very promising. There are no major issues in terms of NPAs, etc., on our outstandings in the market. Amit can give you more color on the operational part of Arka's performance, so I'll hand it over to Amit. Amit. Amit, you are there?
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Thanks, Pavanji. So, just to highlight the financial performance of Arka Fincap Limited for FY 2022, just to update on the PAT number, that we have doubled the PAT in this financial year, standing at 32.5 crore as compared to the PAT for FY 2021, which was registered at 16.8 crore. In terms of a loan book, in terms of a profitability, in terms of a net worth of a company and leverage, on all the parameters, the company has been performing very well. The loan book of a company has increased from 1,124 crore to 2,379 crore as on 31st March 2022, which is being supported by the equity capital from the promoter and a debt, which is very much essential for the financial services business. We have got more than 28 lenders onboarded as on 31st March 2022, which are there to support the future growth trajectory of the company as well. Since day one, as we have committed to get the loan book diversified and present into 3-4 different business segments, the company has been following that continuously basis, and the MSME business is also getting attraction day by day. As on March 2022, 13% of entire loan book is diversified into SME and MSME segment. Earlier, last financial year, the number was only 3%. However, in this financial year, the company has opened more than 10 branches and now it is getting diversified into the regional level as well, which is catering to the local needs of the B2B customer and also focusing on a digital framework to the B2C customers as well. In terms of the future expected growth, as you have asked, so over a period of next 2 to 3 years, the company intends to grow this loan book from 2,000 to at least 7,000 to 9,000 odd crore trajectory, wherein again the loan book will totally be diversified into various different segments, apart not only catering to the loan segments, but also we are coming up with a fee-based income kind of a structure. This year itself, within Arka Fincap, we opened a new division called the distribution division, wherein the company got a very good attraction and earned a fee income of almost 5 crore for the financial year. This the distribution income, taking confidence from here, we are coming up with an AIF also and gradually will spread its wing to the other areas of financial services as well. I hope I am able to answer your question in detail.
Few follow-up, okay, if I may. One is, when you spoke about this fee income of 5 crores, can you share more details?
More like a syndication income, wherein the company itself doesn't participate, but it is a totally third party, wherein we go into the market and basis our analysis and our the thing I can use a judgment and commitment kind of a thing. The lender is also agreeing on the credit worthiness of the borrower and they are ready to sanction and disburse the limit.
So it's basically a syndication.
Yes, this is a syndication income.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, like, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you're looking at, multiple fold increase in the loan book.
Yeah.
Maybe 3-4 times. Okay. In next 2 years time, right?
2 to 3 years, I said.
So let's assume 3 years, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, how much capital would you need and from where would this incremental capital come in if Kirloskar is providing 1,000 crores?
See, so far the commitment from the promoter side is 1,000 crore. So that is why the business plan for this financial year is being freezed. We are still with the discussion with the promoters and that call is yet to be taken.
So should we assume that, you know, Kirloskar can pump in beyond 1,000 crores at a later date?
See, I can only say that it is not yet decided.
Because earlier historical commitment was 1,000 crores, okay. Now there is a change in the communication, I presume, that there is a possibility that beyond 1,000 crores can be.
Hi, this is Gauri Kirloskar. I'd like to say something. So once the 5,000 crore book size is crossed, we will come up with future plans and it will be in line with how financial services companies and businesses raise money. And we will come back to you with those plans.
So till 5,000 crores, there won't be any capital, further capital needed. That's what one should assume.
Yes. I can give you the breakup of this also. For the 5,000 crore of a loan book, we need an equity capital of 1,000 crore. There will be a clawback of profit of a company internally as well, and which is very well enough to take us to the leverage of a 4x. So we'll leverage to 4,000 plus 1,000 crore of equity from the promoter will easily take us to 5,000 crore.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Second question is with regards to cash flows. Okay. The company has been generating a lot of cash flows, not only from operations, but also historically from working capital. Okay. So going forward, what kind of, you know, usage do we see for this cash flows? Okay. And, you know, how much capex do we see, or we have more acquisitions in, you know, in the horizon? So if you can just throw usage of this cash flows actually, and also, you know, if at all there is a possibility to answer in this forum or whatever, because, you know, the Kulkarni families have intend to sell their stake, okay, in the markets, which is roughly, you know, 14-odd%. So if you can throw some light on that also, it would help us.
Let me answer your first question. You are right. The company generates impressive cash flows from operations. And as we have informed earlier also, we are actively looking for the right opportunities in the market. And we will pursue our M&A pursuits going forward. But these businesses would be periphery to our business, you know, what we are doing in COEL, whether on the energy side or on the water management side. And obviously the cash gets deployed on capital expenditure as well as dividends. So those things will continue in future. Next year also we intend to spend about 85 to 90 crore rupees towards capital expenditure. Largely the amount would be invested on emission norms work which is going on, especially CPCB4, and also BS5 is going to kick off this year, so some amount of investment will go in that also. That journey will start. Motor BU also will require some capex investment, but not a very significant amount, but there will be some capex towards that also. So that is how the funds are going to get deployed. Moreover, the board has also reviewed the capital allocation framework in the current year, and which was presented by the management. So there is a plan, there is a method how the cash is going to get utilized over the period of next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. And last, like, you know, there is a lot of noise, like we hear in media about this, you know, diesel gensets, you know, somewhere they are getting banned or somewhere they are not getting banned. And in our press release, we have also mentioned about alternative fuels, actually. So if you can throw some light on this, actually, what's happening exactly, you know, it will help us again.
Arvind, would you like to take this one?
Yeah. Yes, we do keep hearing. And as you know that there is an association named IDEMA who is leading this on behalf of the diesel engine manufacturer. And they are working very closely with the authorities in terms of that. So this is, as of now, speculations. There is no firm notification and all.
But the relevant people are already taking it up with the authorities. But at the same time, as the norms are becoming more and more stringent, and we are all compliant to that, and then the shift to the cleaner fuels and other alternative options is definitely going to stay with the standby power APP.
I'd also like to add. That as the move to gas and other fuels, especially in India, they're talking about ethanol and methanol. We are working on all of these, and you will hear in the coming days about when we are ready with these technologies.
Okay. So one last question.
Mr. Shah, may we request that you return to the question queue?
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, I just wanted to know, what is the volume growth we did in FY23? I missed that number earlier.
Can't hear you, Alisha. You have to be a bit louder, please.
Am I audible now?
Better, yeah.
Just wanted to know, what is the volume growth we did in FY22?
Again, it would vary from segment to segment in power generation. You are talking about FY22 growth over FY21, right?
Yes.
So power generation has grown by 25 to 30% volume wise. Industrial saw tractor in, as you know, in industrial we have tractor, and then other than tractor, which is basically all construction equipment and off-highway equipment. So tractor, there was a degrowth. And in other segments, construction, there was a growth, a modest growth, not significant. I can't reveal the exact growth numbers. And other element also was more or less at the same level, or there was a slight degrowth.
And also, earlier in the call, you mentioned that we have taken price hikes in phases throughout the year. Have we passed on all the cost pressures that we have faced in the last year, or is there still some balance that is not being covered? And if so, how much?
So the cost increase has been going on. Input cost increase has been going on through the year. And as I mentioned earlier, quarter three, we did not take much of price increase, but from quarter four onwards, we have accelerated both the timing and the quantum of price increase across our business segments. And accordingly, you can see that the raw material cost to sales ratio, which is there in the published result, in the previous quarter, which is quarter ended December 21, was 71%. And which has come down to 65.5% in the March quarter. So which means our actions are showing result in terms of the sales price increase.
Understood. And is this a sustainable number at gross margin level, 35%, or like you were saying, manufacturing cost of 65%? Is this a sustainable number going forward?
Very difficult to predict the number looking at the volatility of commodity prices going forward. But all I can tell you at this point of time is that we are committed to, pass on the input cost increase to the market very promptly, unlike in the past. So our endeavor is to slowly march towards the margins that we were making earlier, and which got a setback in the financial year FY22, especially the first couple of quarters. So we are actively working towards that, and you will see better results going forward.
Understood. And one last question, if I may. We did mention again earlier in the call that we're seeing strong visibility on the back of industrial capex and government infra spending. What is the kind of volume growth we're targeting or aspire for 23?
Can't give you any revenue guidance or volume growth guidance at this point of time, simply because things are still quite volatile. Supply side on, the availability of components, etc. These are quite uncertain times as of now. So it will be difficult, unfortunately, for us to give guidance.
But assuming the world, like you were mentioning, raw material costs are cooling off, etc., can we assume at least a double-digit volume growth across segments?
can't give any commitment on this at this point of time.
No problem. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question was more pertaining to the CPCB 4 norm implementation. As we understand that, you know, sir, from next year onwards, CPCB 4 norms would get implemented. So just wanted to understand, do we see any pre-buying to happen in this particular financial year, that is FY23? And what is the kind of price hikes that will materialize once the CPCB 4 norms gets implemented? Yeah.
Arvind, can you just answer this question, please?
Yeah, Amit, so there are two questions. The first one is that do we see any pre-buying happen? If we go by the historical trend, there are chances, but it's difficult to say at this stage. Reason being is, as Pawan mentioned, that the kind of volatility which is prevailing in the market, it is very difficult because ultimately the consumer is the one who has to decide that when he wanted to mature his purchase. As far as the cost, the raw material cost, again, it purely depends upon that the how commodity would behave. But if you have to benchmark the current standard, then definitely there will be some bit of increase which would come in from CPCB 2 to CPCB 4. But the exact numbers are still to be concluded because the protos and the tests are still going on. So once the products are finalized, we will have the exact outlook that how much it is going to impact.
And so one more question I just wanted to understand on the Optica portfolio. So since it's an upcoming product portfolio that we have developed, what is the kind of contribution that we envisage from the Optica portfolio? And if you can, you know, give us a guidance with regards to the growth prospects of Optica over the next 2 to 3 years. So that would be really helpful, sir.
Thanks for this question, Amit. Optica, as you know, we formed this company and we acquired the business Optiflex Industries, the partnership firm, with a view to grow the ancillary and allied businesses. And I'm happy to report that FY22, which was the first year of commercial operation, and in fact, we did business for almost 10 months, 10 and a half months. It clocked a revenue of 40 crore rupees. Out of that, about 18 crore was sold internally to Koel and LGM, and 22 crore was external sales. So it was quite up to the mark, and this is this was in line with our expectation in the first year. Going forward also, we see a good opportunity in the marketplace for the products which are produced by Optica, both for sell through LGM and Koel, as well as product which are getting sold by Optica under its own brand name, which is the Optica pipes and Optica cables, etc. Next 2 to 3 years, difficult to comment, but I do not see any reason why we should not be crossing 100-120 crore in the next 2 to 3 years time. As far as the margins are concerned, as you know, the Optica company is in the business of winding wire cables, pipes. Your scale matters, and as you go, as your volumes go up, as your sale number goes go up, the margins start improving. In the near term, maybe possibly 1 to 2 year, it would not be very impressive, probably around 4-4.5% margin. But if we are able to scale up this business to, which is what our aspiration is, to take it to 300 to 400 crore business, there is every possibility that probably we can hit 5-6% or 7% margin in this business.
Sure, sir. That is really helpful. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Can I now request Srikant Pataskar, who heads our international business, to give a flavor on what is happening on the export side, what is the demand environment, and you know, how is Kirloskar playing out? Over to you, Srikant.
Oh, thanks, Pawan, for this. Briefly speaking, we have been active in Africa and Middle East region traditionally. And in the recent times, we have expanded our operations in America's region, especially the Latin American region. We are also looking at introducing market-oriented new products which are more like offering product solutions to the market. Since it's a very fragmented market, different countries have got different requirements from the product. We have to adopt to those requirements. We have to adopt products for those requirements. The opportunities going forward look quite bright for us, especially as our deliveries are not as much affected as our competition, which is opening new customer accounts for us. And also with the new products that we are introducing, our market coverage is getting expanded. And that looks quite promising for this year. Two factors which are of concern. One is we are still not very sure about what can be the impact of Russia-Ukraine war on some of these markets. And secondly, the logistics environment still remains quite challenging. Availability of containers for shipments and the logistics costs. So those two are the challenges that we are looking at. We are already working partly on improving the container loadability, making the optimum utilization of the container space, whereby we can impact where we can reduce the impact of the increases in the logistic cost to an extent. So that's briefly. We are looking in terms of the product verticals, power generation. Is one segment which offers opportunities, and firefighting engines, the engines that we supply for firefighting pumpsets, where we have developed product range very specifically for international markets. That is giving us very good opportunities, especially in UAE. So that's the overall brief.
Thanks, Shikant.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call and for the interest in the company and your questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thanks.